Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you all. I'm looking to see if any of you have had new beginnings. Yeah, look like some of you shaking the dust off your feet, ready to go. Let the old year pass. All new starts, new eyes to see God's creation, a new heart. You guys came back with a tan. Where did you spend Christmas? You got a new tanning booth for Christmas. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday. We can all take a deep breath and begin new today, okay? New opportunities. Who knows what the year will hold for us. Couple of announcements. Thursday we're going to be taking all of our Christmas things down. If you would like a poinsettia, please help yourself. Anybody, please. Because usually there's a dozen or so that we take out. Someone told me that poinsettias are poisonous. Really? So if the deer eat them, they're going to be okay? Okay. So they will go out in the woods if you don't take them, all right? So please help yourself. If you have someone in a nursing home or someone who'd like to brighten their day, please take them, all right? Oh, today, everybody, please join us for a coffee fellowship. It's our friend Bob Beaver's 90th birthday. Where are you, Bob? There you go, Bob. Hey, Bob, you're 90 today?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so he can celebrate the 89th birthday today and take a piece of cake home tomorrow. Anyway, join us for that. I think the rest. Patty and Smokey Honnell have to move, and they need help tomorrow.
Pastor.
Yeah.
Never know him back
here. Who's that?
Birthday.
Artie?
Yep.
Is it your birthday today, Artie? You're not going to sneak by. Artie gets to go first in line today, okay, right after Bob. Holy smokes. I'm going to get a crack at you, hey? Front row seats for Smokey. This is going to be interesting. You're going to have to stay awake this morning, Smokey. Patty, you need help, please. So that's for women helping in the kitchen? What about moving all your stuff over to the storage unit down here at Jeff's?
Well, I think we have that under control.
You don't need it? You need a pickup. Okay, so we don't need guys tomorrow.
No, Wednesday.
You need a couple ladies to help pack your dishes. Okay, should I bring over some paper plates for you to use when you pack all your dishes?
I found some.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they were down in Arizona. Smokey had to see a cardiologist, came back. Someone bought their house. They said, you have to be out by the 8th of January. They rented a unit down here at Jeff's. They have to move all their stuff out down there. Yeah. I mean, you have heart problems already. And then to have the stress of moving and all the rest. Smokey, you're aging before my eyes. This is 2016, though. So you got fresh starts. After this week, it's a fresh start, okay? Anyway, it's nice to have you here. We've got new opportunities now. Let's begin with the word of... Yeah? And where are they?
Right over there.
Oh, you got stuck here, huh? Welcome to the neighborhood. You should have checked out the neighborhood before you moved in. Anyway, You're going to find Mille Lacs Lake is a wonderful, wonderful place. We live where people come to vacation. It's the greatest secret in the history of the world. So, and this is a wonderful congregation, so welcome. Along with that, if we have any other visitors, everyone's welcome at the table of our Lord, okay? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather on this Sunday morning after a busy holiday. We celebrate your son's birth. A new year comes before us and it brings new opportunity. But for this moment, we come here to thank you, to listen to you. Open our ears, open our hearts that your spirit might lift us up and carry us, and that we might immerse ourselves in your teachings and your love. So bless us this morning as we sing these wonderful Christmas carols, as we hear your word again. Bless us, Lord, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn today is Good Christian Friends Rejoice. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. To the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Word made flesh, the Lord and giver of life.
Amen.
Let us come into the light of Christ, confessing our need for God's mercy. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. God of peace, we confess that we are not at peace with others or with ourselves. We bring to you all that tears us apart, discord in our families, violence in our world, our own conflicted hearts. In your mercy, mend us, reconnect us to one another and to you. Let peace reign over all the earth through the Prince of Peace, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Word who has come to dwell with us, God has given us grace upon grace, forgiveness that is stronger than our sins, love that can heal every broken heart. Hear this word of God's pardon and peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, you are free from all your sins. Rise, shine, for your light has come.
Amen.
And let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do.
through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the third verse. In Jesus, all of God's plans and purposes have been made known as heaven and earth are united in Christ. Through Jesus, we have been chosen as God's children and have been promised eternal salvation. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were first, the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." Here ends the first lesson. Psalm this morning comes from Psalm 147. Let's read it responsively. Please read the bold print, and at the bold R, please join in the refrain. "Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion." Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. God has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. God sends out a command to the earth, a word that runs very swiftly. God scatters hail like breadcrumbs. Who can stand against God's cold? God declares the word to Jacob, statutes and judgments to Israel.
The Lord has not done so in any nation. They do not know righteousness.
Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. Our gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Christmas is found in the first chapter of St. John. John begins his gospel with this prologue, a hymn to the Word through whom all things were created. The Word became flesh and brought grace and truth to the world. Jesus came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of will of man, but of God. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Our sermon hymn this morning is 272, "Lo, How a Rose There Blooming." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to our first Sunday of the new year. Some of you probably been working on your New Year's resolutions these past days. On the other hand, it's been 3 days already, so some of you may have already given up about those New Year's resolutions. One poor guy I heard about tried praying for his resolutions. He got down beside his bed and turned his head down and held his hands and closed his eyes and said, "Lord, in 2016, my prayer for the new year is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix these up like you did last year." Someone else said, "Every year I make a new resolution to change myself. This year I'm making a resolution to be myself." That's not such a bad resolution that we embrace who we are. And one December, 31 years ago, Charles Schulz in his Peanuts cartoon strip had Snoopy the dog thinking to himself. He said, "So this is the last day of the year, another complete year gone by, and what have I accomplished this year that I haven't accomplished every other year?" And he thinks, and finally says, "Nothing." And he smiles and thinks to himself, "How consistent can you get?" May you remember to be consistent. I trust that God will give you the grace to accomplish your goals and objectives. We've got a chance for new beginnings and new opportunities. I trust God will give you the grace to accept yourself as you are and at least to admit admire your consistency, you know. Stay consistent. It's okay. And may you remember to say I love you at least once a day to your spouse and to your children and to your parents if you are still have your parents. Say you love them, huh? Nothing more important than that. This last reminder leads us to our message for today. Our theme today is God's adopted children. And as I was reading Paul's letter to the Ephesians reminds us who we are. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Did you hear that? He has destined us to be his children through Christ, the creator of the universe. What an amazing thought. This right there, if you're wondering what the meaning of your life should be, that should be the meaning of your life and mine, huh? That we are God's children. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we're his sons and daughters. Imagine what that could mean if we really believed that and lived that, that we are God, the Creator's children. I've been thinking about that. First of all, when I read this lesson, it reminds us that we are loved by the Creator, who we call God, who the Jews called Yahweh. The unknown spoken name. Our native friends call it the Kichimanodu, the great mystery. The creator of the universe loves us as his children. If you have any question that God loves you, put it out of your mind today, okay? We're loved. We're loved, as our Asian friends say. in order to say a period and to pound a point home, they'll say, we're loved full stop. That means period. We're loved by the Creator. In the Psalm chapter, or in the eighth Psalm, we read, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. They're asking, who are we in this great universe, in this world? That's a legitimate question. The universe is so huge. Why should God care about us at all, you and me? I was talking to someone about this a while back, and they said, but there's so many of us for God to love. I mean, there's so many of us. There are over 7 billion people on Earth. Did you know that? I just saw the statistics. In the United States, there's 340 million of us. Only 340 million and over 7 billion people. And God loves us. How could God care about each of us as individuals? Is God like that old woman who lived in the shoe, had so many children she didn't know what to do? Let me give you an example. An illiterate man wanders into a big library down in the cities, and all he sees are rows and rows and rows of books. What do they mean to him? He can't read. What does he see? Imagine that he just sees one big sea of books, and that's it. My, he says, look at all these books. Just a bunch of books. They all look all alike. That's probably what he sees. But what about the librarian? What does she see? She probably doesn't see a blob of books. She's seen these books come in from publishers. She's helped sort them and catalog them. She's checked them out to people. She's reshelved them. She's hunted for some of them for people to read. She's probably read some of them. She thinks in terms of individual books, individual numbers, individual subject matters. The more people know about books, the less they view them as a sea of literature, of all this stuff that's out there, and the more they view them as individual titles by different authors. Are you a librarian or are you an illiterate person? Most of us know nothing about what goes on under the hood of a car, except maybe you, Ronnie. Today, most cars come with all kinds of standard features. You know what I'm talking about? Power steering, power brakes, air conditioning, cruise control, navigation systems. The new Toyota Sienna 2016. You can talk on your microphone, and it'll tune into the headphones of the grandkid who's sitting in the very back of the seat. They got everything, okay? Suppose we have car trouble on a deserted road. We open the hood, but what do we see? We probably see a whole meaningless mass of metal and wires and rubber. My brother, he got caught, you know, between here, 65 and 35. That's in the middle of nowhere. He says, man, I don't know anything about these new cars. The old days, we had carburetors and this and alternators and this and that you could fool with. He says, I wish I could have just opened it up. If I would have saw an off and on switch and saw the switch off, I could have flipped it on and fixed it. No, he gets on his cell phones. They got cell phones. And it worked out there in the middle of nowhere. He calls the guy comes down, the guy brings it up to his shop, puts it in, plugs it in, the computer tells him which area it needs to be fixed. He goes in and fixes it, nothing, you know, and charges them $300 or something like that. Anyway, all we see is a big mass of metal and rubber and wires. And these guys got the computer, and they'll go right to the place where it's gone, you know. Are all cars like that, or do you see individual pieces and individual engines and motors that run your car? One last example, maybe the most important one. Suppose we went to Mexico City or Tokyo, the two most populous cities in the world. We go downtown. It's rush hour. There are thousands and thousands of busy people in the streets. What's our first impression likely to be? Well, we probably see a great mass of faces that all look alike to us. If we were to stay a while, though, in one of those great cities and come to know and love certain people, and understood their culture, they no longer looked like all the same people. We would see them as individuals, and we'd see that as a place that we could fit in and immerse ourselves in. God knows every single person in the world by name. That's what our lesson is saying today. He knows every Israeli and Palestinian by name. He knows every child in Zambia and South Africa by name. The more you know about the subject, the less you see it in general terms, and the more you think about it in individual terms. God knows everything about every one of us. That's what our author Paul is saying today. He's the source of all knowledge. He's the source of all truth. He doesn't see us as a sea of humanity, as one blob called Earth in the middle of the universe. He knows each one of us by name. Is the universe friendly? The answer has to be yes. The universe is friendly because it was created by God, and He knows each one of us by name. He knows us individually. That's an amazing, amazing thought. And in Jesus Christ, God has adopted us to be His own children. Paul says, in love, He destined us for adoption to be His children. Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and His will. So as I was thinking about this, I wondered, how often do you or I understand that we are a child of God? We are a child of God, His kid. We represent Him. He loves us. He cares for us. You're a child of God. How often do you think? I thought, well, I looked at some of you, you know, thought about some of you. Some maybe think once a week. Some maybe think, well, on Sunday they might get the idea. then I looked at some of you and I said, I'll bet you a lot of people never even thought they were children of God. Never. I mean, we never even thought we're children of God. You don't feel worthy to be a son or a daughter of God. I asked this to a few of my classes through the years. You understand that you are a child or daughter of God? And some have said to me, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Maybe I don't, but God does. And God still loves you. God still loves you, and God still loves me. And that's the surprise, that He knows me and He loves me. Professor I had in seminary wrote about a therapist who used to assemble a group and play a game he called Top Secret. He'd ask the people to write out one thing about themselves that they were least inclined to share with anybody else in the world. One thing that no one knew about them, and then return the paper to him unsigned. And through the years, one answer consistently emerged as the most frequently admitted top secret thing that people carried with them. He says it usually was phrased something like this: I feel utterly worthless. No one would want me if they knew me. Isn't that too bad? I want to remind you today, as we start a whole new year, that I can tell you someone who wants you. God wants you. You're far from worthless. God sees you as having unimaginable value. You are each very, very special. You're so valuable that God gave His Son for you. You know, and that's really saying something. One of my favorite authors is a guy named John Ortberg. In his book, Love Beyond Reason, he tells a story that many of you parents can relate to. It's a story of a little doll named Pandy. Pandy belonged to John Ortman's sister when he was a kid. She was his sister's favorite doll, this little Pandy was. Well, wherever Barbie Ortberg went, Pandy went too. After years of devoted love for Pandy, that old Pandy started looking pretty down and out. She was a mess. But Barbie never noticed her ugliness. Pandy was still their favorite. Well, one year they vacationed up in Canada. And on their way back to Minnesota, Barbie realized that Pandy was missing. And the family had already traveled a few hundred miles.
But this was Barbie's favorite doll, so they turned that car around and traveled back hundreds of miles. They knew the whole family understood that Barbie needed Pandy in her life, so the whole crew went back. Mr. Artberg knew that his daughter wouldn't rest until she had that little doll back, so the whole Artberg family willingly made the long trip back, crossed the border into Canada to get that doll. No wonder Artberg called it love beyond reason. You go hundreds of miles back to retrieve a doll? Send your beloved son into a dark, cruel world for the love of creatures like you and me? The creator of the universe would do that? And yet, that's the good news as we begin a new year. God loves us that much. One last thought. Years ago, there was a TV commercial that said it all. Actually, according to one writer, the commercial didn't say a single word. It simply showed a series of people who had one thing in common, a serious injury or a scar. You might remember this. I do. It didn't show long because I don't think it was well received. On this commercial, there was a cowboy with one big scar across his eye, and when you look in it, that eye was dead. Then it would go to another person. The guy had a bulbous cauliflower ear, and he smiled into the camera, but all you saw was the ear. No explanation. All there was a Nike swoosh and a just do it sign. No words. The ad was analyzed and criticized as being incomprehensible, as being very, very extreme. No explanation except the Nike swoosh and just do it. But the worst of it, according to the critics of the advertising, was a guy named Joe Cocker. You know Joe Cocker? He started singing a song. Joe Cocker, do you remember? Can you get a vision of who Joe Cocker was? Old, kind of beaten up. I mean, some back bar troubadour, maybe over at Jack Shack, sitting in a corner, and he sang, "You are so beautiful to me." And to these athletes, the wrestler with the cauliflower ear, the surfer who had the shark bite taken out of his thigh, the bull rider with one dead eye in his head, their injuries were beauty marks in this commercial. And to their fans, these athletes were so beautiful because of their scars. They held on. They stuck it out. They fought it out. As our friend, theologian Bill Shakespeare said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. God's grace is just as jarring and controversial. God's love for you is just as jarring and controversial. Our beauty is not found in us. Our beauty is found in Him. He looks down at us, injured, blind, aging, sick. Sometimes we don't think right, and we don't act right. And out of His mouth comes, "You are so beautiful to me." I can't hardly imagine it. We may be time-worn like Barbie's Ortberg's doll Pandy. We may be sin-broken and bruised like the fellow with that bulbous cauliflower ear, but that's not how God sees us. God sees us as a new creation, and because God sees us as a new creation, that's how, by His grace, you and I can enter into this new year with a little extra hop in our giddy-up. There's hope out there, and there's some new stuff out there, because we've got a new heart today as we gather around the bread and the wine. We've got new eyes to see the world through God, through God's eyes. The slate has been wiped clean for you and me today. It's time to begin writing a new chapter in our life today as we begin a new year. God loves us. God loves us, and it's time to begin living fully and wonderfully in the wonder and in the knowledge that the Creator of the universe loves the likes of you and me. That's pretty special. That's pretty special. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and forever. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join in singing our offertory song, The First Noel. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of hymn 300. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer. It's found on page 4. Let us pray this prayer together. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be blessing for others. With the trees of the field, with all earth and heaven, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rejoicing with all the faithful, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Let us pray for the church throughout the world, for bishops, pastors, ministers of word and service, and for all other leaders, for teachers and missionaries, for the newly baptized, and those preparing for baptism. Lord, in your mercy, for coastlands and mountains, rivers and deserts, prairies and valleys, for wilderness and cities, lakes and oceans, for farmlands and pastures, forests and rangelands, and for orchards, vineyards, and gardens. Lord, in your mercy. For those who live in the north and in the south, the east and the west, for all who work for peace, for those whose safety is threatened by warfare, and for immigrants and refugees,
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those who are hungry, those who live with disabilities, those who fear what the future holds for them, for those who grieve, and for all who are sick, we especially lift up before you those in our lives who need your healing touch. We remember today Ron and Carol and Lynn Haas and Dean Newman, Carol Bipes, all those others in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, for council members and all other leaders, for those who help us learn from our past and plan for the future, for all whose faithful stewardship sustains this congregation's ministry, Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who are celebrating birthdays. Be with Bob and Artie today. Thank you for their love, their talents, and their gifts that they have shared in their lifetimes. Continue to nurture them and walk with them. Be with Smokey and Patty as they pack up their house. Allow them safe travels. Wrap them in your spirit. And Lord, if you could smile upon those we love, family and friends, and keep them close, we'd ask that you do that. Here, with thanksgiving, remember all who have died and those who have pointed us toward the light of Christ and the truth of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Pondering the mystery of your love, we offer our prayers in the name of Christ, the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather on this first Sunday of the new year, ever mindful of Christ's presence in our lives, his spirit that has moved through our lives since before the day we were born. We gather and we are reminded of fresh starts. For at Jesus' last supper, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin, for the slate being wiped clean, for new beginnings. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so we will hand you the bread. Please dip it in the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, we have bread that's appropriate. Just let the server know. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on the top of page 6. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that in this bread and cup of Christ's very life, you give us food for our journey. As you led the Magi by a star,
as you brought the Holy Family home again. Guide us on the way unfolding before us. Wherever you go, may our lives proclaim good news of great joy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the word that Mary brought to birth carry you into new and abundant life. May the word that Joseph cradled in his arms enfold you with love and strength.
Amen.
May the word that angels proclaimed in song bring harmony to our world.
Amen.
And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing.